Well, today, I'm going to give you my reflections on the elections.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Have you noticed, friends, how little I have said about the presidential elections and politics in recent weeks and months? You probably have, and it's intentional. It is for reasons I'll express to you in a moment. But as the elections get closer, it's probably the one broadcast where I'm going to talk about things in advance. Now, I'd love to hear from you. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Tell me if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus or not, and who you're voting for president, and why. You get to call in and make your case. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. The reason I ask if you're a follower of Jesus or not is that would obviously impact your ideology, your voting. If you'd rather not even add that in, that's fine. But I understand I have a certain segment of listeners and viewers, and therefore this is not a poll to get information like, oh, according to our poll, 91% are voting for this candidate, but the national polling shows it's a dead heat. No, I'm not trying to prove anything. Just getting feedback and hearing from you and wanting to know why you feel the way that you do. 866-348-7884. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. And it's our goal, even in a talk show like this, talking about political issues, it's our goal to infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong on the front lines. We do it in many, many different ways, through the broadcast, through our YouTube videos, through our articles, books, so many other resources. But one way we do it is our frontline newsletter. Comes out once a month, packed full of content. It's all digital, so you can read it on any platform, your cell phone, tablet, laptop, desktop, whatever. Beautifully formatted with a lead message that'll really stir you, practical, inspirational, great testimonies, a Hebrew word study, and then excerpts from one of my books, great quotes. So just, it's a great resource and it's free. We'd love to sew that into you, our service to you, to help strengthen you in your walk with the Lord and equip you to stand strong where he's called you to be. Again, you can get that by going to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Just click subscribe. We'll send you immediately the frontline newsletter we sent out over a week ago. And that specifically is dealing with the church and the elections. So why have I not spoken much about the elections this year or mentioned the names Trump or Harris a lot on the radio, especially compared to 2020? After all, in 2018, I wrote a book entitled Donald Trump is Not My Savior. An evangelical leader speaks his mind about the man he supports as president. That was in 2018. And then in 2020, I wrote another book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? And by the Trump test, I meant, can we vote for Trump without hurting our Christian witness? And can we unite around Jesus regardless of our political choices? That's what I meant by the Trump test. I believe we failed those quite miserably, my own opinion. And then in 2022, I wrote The Political Seduction of the Church, How Millions of American Christians Have Confused the Gospel with have confused politics with the gospel. So I was very vocal on these issues and called out the false prophecies in 2020 and into early 2021, spoke out against QAnon, the conspiracy theories, wrote many Trump-related articles, pro and con. So why have I been saying so much less this time around? Well, here's the simple, the ridiculously simple answer, then I'll unpack it more, because the same God who led me, to my knowledge, to address things more a few years ago has led me differently now. That's the biggest thing. In other words, I don't have an agenda. And it's one thing for me to talk about the word all the time. Of course, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I've been preaching since 1973. That's my life. I teach, I preach all the time. And Jewish ministry and reaching out to the Jewish people in Israel, of course, that's an always, that's evergreen. That's always going to be something. And, you know, things related to the gospel, things related to what's happening in the church, that's always. That's just like living, breathing. That's every day. Just like you go to work, whatever you do every day, you go to school, this is my life. But politics is not my life. I am not a political pundit. I'm not one of those brilliant talking heads that's going to give you incredible political analyses on TV. That's not my gifting. It's not my calling. It's not my background. So the reason I would talk about political issues is because they intersect with culture, and culture intersects with the gospel. The kingdom of God intersects with politics and culture, and politics is important in that it affects the world around us. And we can vote for certain people and get certain results, and other people get other results, and some of the results can be really good, some of the results can be really bad. But otherwise, politics is not what moves me. I'm not sitting analyzing polls every day. And I've just felt led this time around to really put all my emphasis on the health of the church, 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 while others talk about other relevant issues, and every so often make some politically related comments. So that's where I'm at. That's why. Now, are these elections important? Yes. Do I believe that depending on who wins or loses, it could be the end of freedom and democracy in America? No, I don't. Now, I've heard those concerns from both sides. I've heard the concerns that if Trump is back in power, that's it. He is going to dismantle democracy in America. He is going to make it impossible for our institutions to continue with freedoms as we know. And January 6th was just a precursor of what's coming. And Trump's going to jail everyone that's tried to hurt him. That's the end of democracy. I've heard those charges. I don't believe it's true. I'm not here to praise him or criticize him. I simply don't believe those concerns are true. I believe they are highly exaggerated, to say the least. What of the notion that if Kamala Harris wins and the Democrats win, then that's it for freedoms in America? That through illegal immigrants coming in and giving voting status, that the votes will be in one direction, they'll be slanted, they'll be manipulated, and we'll never have another free election? Or that the same lawfare that was launched against Trump will be launched against any political dissidents, and that's the end of America. I believe that's exaggerated as well. Now, I have no question that there are Democratic policies, parties in the Democratic Party, that really are assaults on our freedoms. And I'm much more concerned about our freedoms under a Democratic administration than a Republican administration. Much more concerned. I believe that the Republican candidates and justices are more committed to our essential freedoms and more committed to push back against censorship than are those on the left, including current Vice President Harris, if she was president, and Senator Tim Walz, Governor Tim Walz, if he became vice president. I do believe that they have agendas that would hinder our freedoms in certain ways, potentially severely. However, I don't believe they could stick. I believe there is too much freedom in America, too much pushback, especially in a post-COVID era. You know, people have said, okay, our whole world was turned upside down over COVID, and a lot of things were put in place, and we question a lot of those things now, and whether it was well-meaning by the government or to overreach, either way, we're not just going to sit back and take it next time around. I don't mean violent uprising. I mean just people saying, hey, we're free, and we're going to live our lives. So I do believe the Democratic platform is dangerous in many ways. I grieve over the Republican platform being watered down in many ways, ways that are important to us. That's a real, real loss. On the other hand, I understand that neither party is the kingdom of God, that neither party is God's party. And ultimately, I do cast my vote I do have my convictions and my feelings about which candidate would do a better job. You weigh it out. Okay, this is good on this part, but bad in this way. And you weigh it out and think, okay, because we're again, forget the idea that we're not voting for a pastor. We don't need to say that. The character of the president matters. I understand we're not looking for a spiritual leader. I understand. And if the candidate really knew the Lord, they still have to be the president of all the nation. In other words, if the candidate that got elected was a real committed follower of Jesus, someone that lived in the Word and was godly, okay, that would be for the best benefit of America to have a godly person, but they'd have to be the same president of atheists and Muslims and skeptics and mockers and people who post insults to Christianity. They have to be the same president for everybody and make decisions for the well-being of America, as opposed to, well, everybody goes to church now on Sunday, or Christians have special privileges that no one else has because I'm a Christian. No, that's not how our government works. But we recognize that character matters, that the character of a nation matters, that integrity matters. So we weigh things out. Okay, this candidate has really good policies and these massive character flaws, or let's just say theoretically, really good policies, but they can't get anything done. It's all theory. And this one, they got poor policies, but boy, talk about when they do get to work, they're going to get the job done. It's like, so you weigh everything out. It's like, yeah, they're going to institute bad policies. We don't want it. Well, the other's going to have great ideas and do nothing. And you weigh things out, realizing that in this world, politics is just part of a fallen system. There's plenty of corruption and junk and all this stuff. And you simply say, okay, all right, who will do a better job, in my view, for what I feel is best and most important for America? And you cast your vote accordingly. But please, please, let us not look to do, let us not look to politics to do what only the gospel can do. Let us not look to a political leader to do what only the church could do. Let us not look to a party to do what only the kingdom of God could do. So I want to come back to that theme. Again, you get to call in, tell me who you're voting for and why. 866-348-7884.
Is essential for your well-being. Whether you're at the gym, strolling in the park, or enjoying hobbies, every step counts because movement is life. I'm Paul, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to introduce you to Trivita's beetroot gummies, rich in nitrates to enhance vasodilation to give you the extra pick-me-up to keep you moving on the go. Each gummy contains the natural power of beetroot, which is known for its incredible ability to support healthy circulation, energy, stamina, and blood pressure. With Trivita's on-the-go beetroot gummies, you can get a natural boost of energy to power through each day. So whether you're gardening, dancing, or enjoying time outdoors, Trivita's beetroot gummies keep you energized. Remember, movement is life. Don't let fatigue or the afternoon drag hold you back. Experience the energy-boosting benefits of Trivita's beetroot gummies. Feel the difference as you embrace every opportunity to move and enjoy life fully. With Trivita's beetroot gummies.
Call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of the proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at TRI V-I-T-A, Trivita.com.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call to join in as we spend a rare broadcast talking about the elections. And thank you, our great co-sponsor, Trivita. Definitely a part of my life 7 days a week, even when I travel. And thanks for being so generous to our listening and viewing audience. Much appreciated. All right. Some of you know that I actually endorsed Ted Cruz back in the 2016 elections. And after I did, I regretted doing it. No fault of his. No fault of Senator Cruz. Nothing he said or did. I regretted doing it. Because the only time I'd endorsed a candidate, and I'm not some big shot that the whole world's coming to me for endorsements, or, you know, it's a big, oh, we got Mike Brown's endorsement, like, whatever. But I never did it before that, and as far as I understand, I'll never do it again. I mean, if the angel of the Lord came in my room and said, do that, okay, but as to my knowledge, I will never endorse another candidate. Why? For one reason. We each have a purpose and role in this world. And those of us who are in vocational ministries, this is what we do all the time, preaching, teaching. So my calling is to be a voice for moral sanity, spiritual clarity, and to stand for these three R's, revival in the church, gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, and the redemption of Israel. And the moment I started to weigh in on the 2016 campaign, once I had endorsed Senator Cruz, people were like, well, you're just a Cruz guy. Well, I was trying to be objective, but fair enough. I endorsed somebody. There goes my objectivity. Now, in the past, I've said who I'm voting for. I just cast in my absentee ballot because I'm going to be out of state during the elections. So I just sent that out today, my absentee ballot. So I have voted. But I'm not even tell you who I voted for right now because I just want to talk about issues and how the church should posture itself. So what happened was by endorsing a candidate, I'm talking about for me, I'm not telling anyone else what to do. But what happened was I compromised my ability to be heard as a voice. And that was the biggest thing, that now people viewed me through a certain lens. And the most important thing was that particular mission. So I know churches, colleagues of mine, pastor friends, and they will publicly get up and say, we are endorsing these local candidates and these national candidates. We believe they're the best for the job for the following reasons. We've also told the local candidates that at the moment you stop keeping your commitment to live out the things we've discussed with you, we will no longer vote for you or support you, and we'll call you out publicly. They feel it's right to do that, and they preach the gospel day and night. They reach out to the lost day and night. They feed the poor in their community. In other words, they do this, but it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. I know others that, and the majority would say, okay, here are the issues. Here's where the church stands on issues A, B, C, D. Here's where we stand on abortion. Here's where we stand on race issues. Here's where we stand on immigration. Here's where we stand on sexuality. Here's where we stand on these different issues. Boom. Okay. Now, here's a voter's guide. Here's where the candidates stand, so you know where the church stands. Now you can work that out. Great, fine. And you can preach Jesus without distraction. The key thing is that we are not distracted from our calling. Some are called to be more politically involved, others less politically involved. But we live in this world, and you know, it's said politics is downstream from culture. I think that was an Andrew Breitbart quote. Well, culture's downstream from the church. So my calling primarily is to address the state of the church, the health of the church. So as the 2020 elections unfolded, and this is why I've pulled back in 2024 from speaking more, one of the reasons I believe the Lord had me pull back was, in my view, I say we, not pointing a finger, we really blew it on several fronts in the 2020 elections. We became as divided in tone and attitude as the world. It's one thing to have a conviction, another thing to act in divisive, crude, ugly ways toward one another. That you can be bold without being in the flesh. You can be courageous without being a jerk. Okay? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I mean, I saw leaders, friends of mine, fall for QAnon conspiracy theories. And when I tell them, this is just conspiracy theory, I never heard of QAnon. I said, I don't care what you heard of. This is where it's coming from. This is nonsense. It's bogus. And even many in the world, I saw non-Christian people when Trump was not elected and a lot of the alleged things that were going to happen never happened. I saw unbelievers say, we got played. We got played. This whole QAnon thing, we got played. While Christians, leaders I knew, were still believing it, still telling me, no, Mike, watch. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Every single thing they told me would happen before and after the elections never happened. Every single thing I was guaranteed, told privately, some publicly, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen with the elections, with this, with this, with this. Every single thing did not happen. And they would, give it another 2 months, give it another 4 months, give it another 6 months. And I'd come back 2 months later, 4 months later, 6 months later, 8 months later, 1 year later, say, okay, are you willing to say it never happened? I didn't want to pour salt in their wounds. I didn't want to say I told you. But we blew it there. We got caught up in all kinds of nonsense. And look, we are not everything that is supposed to be a conspiracy theory is a conspiracy theory. Think of how many things about COVID and origins of COVID we were told were conspiracy theories, and they turn out to be true. So I recognize there are things that get suppressed and information suppressed, and there's other things, it's just bogus. And then the false prophecies. You know, I've watched the people 8 straight years, I guarantee 8 straight years. Well, hang on, he lost the election. He didn't lose, it was stolen. I'm telling you, 8 straight years, he's going to be there. Biden's not going to be there. Well, they blew it royally. And we, charismatics, okay? So I'm glad to see in 2024, we're not hearing all the prophecies like we were. Even though the great majority of those who blew it never acknowledged it publicly. Some claim that Trump is now spiritually president. One guy said he had a vision April of 2021 and Trump was sitting enthroned in heaven with a golden scepter and he was the real leader of America. This is a gospel preacher, Christian guy. It's complete bogus, either made up or 100% false, demonic. But the great majority of those who got it wrong didn't repent, didn't acknowledge it. I've even seen some saying it's not really Biden, it's a shapeshifter or an actor. It's like you could have got an actor that wasn't in diminishing mental capacity then. You know, get an actor at least that was sharp and that and I don't say this in a derogatory way towards Mr. Biden, President Biden. It's sad. But why have someone that's in mental decline as the actor? Come on, please. But the fact is, at least we're not hearing so much of that. And we're not hearing the QAnon conspiracy theories this time around. That to me is positive. That's a positive. That's good. And maybe I'm wrong. But for those of us who would be conservative, leaning Republican, Trump voters, I voted for Trump 2016, 2020. For those of us who would be Trump voters, I'm hearing less this time around about St. Donald. Seems to be more realism about who he is, especially with him stepping back on abortion. He's like a pragmatist, sees where things are, wants to get reelected. And I'm hearing less about only Donald Trump can save America and more from the Republican conservative side about the dangers of a Harris Democratic presidency, which would be a main reason to vote for Trump. So hopefully some of the fanaticism is not there. However, what's under the surface, what could come up if the elections were disputed again, that remains to be seen. But my whole emphasis has been, let's be the church. Let's be the church. Let's be the church. Let's get right with God. Let's repent of our own sin. Let's learn to love each other in the midst of our differences. And then go ahead and vote. All right, I'm going to take your calls. We come back. Stay right here. Hey, friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us, 866-348-7884. So based on polling data, if the elections were held today, Trump would win. That's what the polls indicate, especially with swing states going in his direction. Who knows what's going to happen in the next, we've got less than 2 weeks, so 13 days. Who knows? I mean, it's been so much volatility and upheaval and back and forth. And Trump's doing an interview on Joe Rogan, the world's largest podcast, you know, millions of listeners. What is that, Friday he's doing it? So, I mean, who knows what happens with that, where it goes, and things are so volatile. It's been so crazy in that regard that to me, with all the craziness and upheaval, just best let's help focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Step back, worship God, meditate on the Word, move forward, move forward, move forward. So, again, that remains my focus and my goal, my role in terms of serving each of you listening and watching. But if the elections were held today, also based on 2020-2016 results, compared to Biden versus Trump at this time, he was way, way ahead. Hillary Clinton versus Trump at this time, she was substantially ahead. And Trump-Harris neck and neck with Trump an advantage in the swing states. So based on that, seeing that he normally would underpoll and even being ahead in terms of electoral college, if the elections were held today, it would seem like he would win. But again, I've cast my vote. I also factor in Israel. For me, that's a major thing. Which candidate would be better for Israel? Which candidate would help Israel be safer? That's a major thing to me and other American voters. Others, your big thing is the economy, and that's your biggest. Others, it's life issues, that's your biggest. Others, it's secure borders. Others, it's international safety. You know, what can we do to prevent an all-out nuclear war that's going to destroy everybody? Who's going to be strongest? So you go to the Lord, you look at Scripture, you see what seems to be important to Him, what's best for the poor and the hurting. And you look at those issues, come to your conclusion, and then vote, and then go back to be in the church, be in the church, be in the church, be in the church. In other words, that's our emphasis. That's our emphasis. We don't need to get consumed with this. All right, so I'm just going to ask you to weigh in who you're voting for and why. It can be 10 seconds long. 866-348-7884. 7884. We start in Raleigh, North Carolina. Rich, who are you voting for and why?
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you. I'm voting for Donald Trump, and the reason is in this election, there are really no unknowns. You have two candidates, both of which have a four-year track record, and you can pick any topic you want. You can pick economy, you can pick immigration, abortion, Israel, gender, any topic you want if you look at it biblically and if you look at it for the benefit of the country. It is tremendously swayed toward one direction. And the other thing with personality, we put Donald Trump arguably is the most successful real estate magnate in New York history, dealing with graft and mafia and everything else. And you put him in the White House, you expect him to be presidential. I mean, who's the idiot? Maybe we are. But in terms of personality, you know what you're going to get. Donald Trump hasn't changed in the last 10 years, and Kamala has just waffled back and forth. And it's interesting. Back with the Biden election, all you heard was anyone but Trump. And they didn't even mention Biden's name. Now I'm voting for Kamala because I won't vote for Trump. But very recently what I'm hearing is I really don't like Trump's personality, but I'm voting for him because it's anyone but Kamala. So I think there's been a tremendous shift.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to happen.
I appreciate it. Hey, Rich, where are you from originally?
The Northeast.
Okay, yeah. The more you talked, even from the beginning, my next call is from Queens, New York, actually. But the more you talked, I thought, this is not a lifelong North Carolinian. And got it. By the way, do you consider yourself a follower of Jesus?
Oh, I was baptized a couple of years ago. I'm a converted. I was a lifelong devout Catholic, and now I'm a Christian. My heart and my soul, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and dedicate my life to Him.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Queens, New York itself. Rudy, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael Brown. How are you doing? This election season, I will definitely have to vote Kamala Harris. Been listening to your show for a while now. I've recently been a torchbearer for a few months now.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, while I don't agree with a lot of the Democratic social stance on abortion, LGBTQ issues, the one thing that I feel Donald Trump did that's worse than anything any Democrat has done was to stop the peaceful transfer of power on January 6th. All the illegal things that he did to overturn the election. And thank God for Mike Pence, who didn't go through with what he was asking him to do, where J.D. Vance now would say that, you know what, he would have done what Mike Pence didn't do. He would have done on January 6th. So I feel like democracy has been challenged in the way that no Democrat has ever done. And I feel like this is something that's it's even worse than what a Democrat has done. And I just want to know your thoughts on that. Like, he literally tried to stop the peaceful transfer of power, all the illegal things he tried to do. And his solution to all this was to get the Supreme Court to declare that a president can't be held criminally liable and get criminal immunity. So to me, it's just I've been put in a situation where for the first time in my life I'm voting Democrat, and I would not have done this ever, but it seems people forget what happened on January 6th, everything leading up to it, what Trump tried to do, and that's where I'm at. And I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so Rudy, I wasn't going to give my thoughts because I just wanted people to call in and express themselves without my opinion, but you've asked. So because you've asked, I want to honor that and respect that.
Sure.
First, you have to do what you feel is right before God. And I'll give you an opinion, but, you know, when you said you're a torchbearer, you're a supporter of our ministry, you're obviously a follower of Jesus. So you have to pray and get God's mind, you know, step back from all the noise that's out there on all sides. So let me say a couple of things. Whatever you do is before the Lord, and I'm not your judge. So we start there, right? On January 6th, I got on the air as things were unfolding, and we were playing B-roll for those watching on YouTube. So people, B-roll is just in the background that was just playing,
and
showing what was happening there at the Capitol. And I had gone away on a prayer retreat for a week in December of 2020. And while I was away, I was still hoping that the prophecies were true and that the courts would overturn the elections, as was being declared was going to happen, because I still prefer Trump to Biden. But when I was in prayer, I just knew it's not going to happen. Biden's going to be inaugurated. So I was waiting for the right time to say something publicly, because I didn't want to be accused of you're trying to discourage people from the, you know, from their faith or whatever, right? That happened anyway, but on January 6th, I got on the air and I said, Trump is not going to be inaugurated. He is not the next president. I'm not talking about 4 years from now, but I'm telling you, he is not the next president. And I also said this, I don't believe he is legally responsible for the assault on the Capitol and whatever happened with it, whatever things get exaggerated, but whatever, the mayhem that took place, okay? I said, I don't believe he's legally responsible, but I believe he's morally responsible because his rhetoric was dangerous and irresponsible leading up to it. In other words, when you are the president of the United States, for example, he didn't say it. He said, we're going to peacefully march over. Now, obviously, if you're thinking clearly, you don't tell several hundred thousand people who think the government's being taken from them and their children may never be able to vote again. You don't even say, let's peacefully march over. You don't even do that. I do not believe for a second that he intended the things that happened January 6th to happen in terms of the riots, in terms of whoever did attack or do what they did in the building. Okay, again, some things got exaggerated, some people wrongly in prison. I don't think he intended that. But when you talk about we're going to fight like hell, I believe if he said right then, this is it, it's life or death, we're taking the Capitol, that many would have been shocked. I mean, I had friends there that were deeply grieved over what happened. They could not believe what happened. They were just there to pray. They thought the elections were unfair, and they were there to pray for justice and for God to work and bring about what was best. But I believe there were enough unhinged people there that if he gave that call, now I understand he didn't, but if he gave that call, that there would have been a bloodbath. I believe people were that ready. So I held him morally responsible with his rhetoric leading up to it. And even that day, look, you can only qualify things so much in an environment like that. You know what I'm saying? When people literally believe, look, when people are chanting, hang Pence, that was the environment. Yes. And Trump helped create that. So I share those concerns and the danger. However, just to finish with my thoughts. When I weigh it out, okay, I cannot vote for a Democratic candidate in conscience. I can't. I would rather sit out an election or pencil in some other name. I can't because, for example, Kamala Harris, Tim Walz have made very plain their view on things. Tim Walz actually, his views on abortion, so extreme, transgender activism, so extreme. I mean, mind-boggling. Yeah, so if they came into power, let's just say they had the majority and they could overturn Roe v. Wade, that would obviate and outlaw every pro-life law that has been passed now for years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. To me, if I did that, I would have that blood on my hands. So I would rather not vote at all. Now, here's the last thought about Trump. I don't believe that he would actively try to subvert the election in a violent way or in a legal way. I believe he would push as far as he could to get things done under the law, and if he couldn't, would back away. So I believe there's potential danger, but I believe everybody kind of learned, hopefully, from January 6th. So those are just my thoughts. And again, I wouldn't have given them because I just want people to be able to call in and share their views without me commenting either way. But those are my thoughts. And I'm going to get to our old friend Fail on the other side of the break. And then just tell you, I did a little poll on X, Twitter, who are you voting for and why. Some really interesting answers, 500-something votes in the first few minutes, it's up. Okay, thanks for the call, Rudy, and thank you, sir, for your support.
Staying active is essential for your well-being. Whether you're at the gym, strolling in the park, or enjoying hobbies, every step counts because movement is life. I'm Paul, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to introduce you to Trivita's beetroot gummies, rich in nitrates to enhance vasodilation to give you the extra pick-me-up to keep you moving on the go. Each gummy contains the natural power of beetroot, which is known for its incredible ability to support healthy circulation, energy, stamina, and blood pressure. With Trivita's on-the-go beetroot gummies, you can get a natural boost of energy to power through each day. So whether you're gardening, dancing, or enjoying time outdoors, Trivita's beetroot gummies keep you energized. Remember, movement is life. Don't let fatigue or the afternoon drag hold you back. Experience the energy-boosting benefits of Trivita's beetroot gummies. Feel the difference as you embrace every opportunity to move and enjoy life fully. With Trivita's beetroot gummies.
Call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of the proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now, 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at TRIVITA, trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, just a reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, click subscribe and ring that bell. And remember, starting the first Monday of November, our 30-minute pre-recorded equipping, teaching, online digital school of the word and spirit will be replacing the one-hour show, so we'll be on the first part of the hour every day, 5 days a week. The series we're just working on now, getting to know the Holy Spirit. You're going to be enriched by it. Love it. And then we'll be putting out live content at different times of the day on YouTube, long-form interviews, in-depth teachings, all kinds of good subjects, sermons I've preached in other places. So you don't miss any of it. If you subscribe to our podcast now, you're going to get it automatically, the new one, which will just change names to Courage in the Line of Fire, but you get that automatically. If you're not subscribing to our podcast, go ahead, subscribe. Subscribe to Line of Fire, and then the name will just change November 1st, last Friday of November, to Courage in the Line of Fire. So if you see that name change, it's me, but with a new equipping teaching show. And then make sure you subscribe on YouTube. The vast majority of you who watch on YouTube don't subscribe, so click subscribe, and then, bang, make sure you hit that button, too. That'll notify you about new video content. Next week, God willing, I'll be in Kona, Hawaii, hoping to do some live streams from there. The week after that, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, hoping to do some live streams from there. So this doesn't prove anything, but I've gotten 655 votes in the first, 40-something minutes. Who are you voting for and why? So it's 85% Trump, 3.5% Harris, 11% other. Some of the reasons: he has the better experience, knowledge, and strength to lead. Republican administration makes it easier to spread the gospel. The other option outside of Trump is disastrous. Also, very anti-Christian. I could never vote for Kamala Harris in good conscience. Free speech, religious liberty, right to bear arms, smaller government, which is why I voted for Trump. Free speech, Trump proven record. Well, I don't agree with all his policy. They're more in line with the biblical worldview than the Harris agenda. He's a candidate who better shares my values. By voting for him, hopefully we can slow down and even start making inroads on issues like illegal immigration and abortion. Trump because he is anointed and appointed. Duh. I'll put a question next to that if it's that obvious. Not a communist, therefore voting a certain way. Okay. Anyway, never Kamala, can't vote for Trump, voted other. Never voted before, asleep at the wheel, no excuse. However, Democrats want to chemically and surgically castrate innocent children, then have the audacity to call it gender-affirming care, so voting straight Republican will not vote a Democrat for a dog catcher. We can't go commie. So those are some of the responses there. Let's go over to Greensboro. Fail. How you doing?
Yes, hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris, and I hope people stop saying Kamala. Like,
oh, so hang on. Help me. Why is it that the people who don't like her call her Kamala? Where her name is Kamala.
It's just Donald Trump. And they have the same.
They just follow what he does to mispronounce it. Listen, I've seen it with candidates mispronouncing each other's names, and it's been for years. It's like, okay, you can hate her and not vote for her, but pronounce her name right, Kamala. Okay, good. So we got that settled.
You can always tell a Trump voter because it's the way they pronounce.
You're right.
Anyway.
You're right. It's true.
I am voting for Kamala, and I'm gonna be very honest. I am pro-life. Even though Donald Trump says that he is, I think he's a liar. Now, I'm going to put this out, and this is just not for Donald Trump. If Donald Trump's wife got raped by a black homeless man and got pregnant from the rape, you're not going to tell me that Donald Trump going to allow his wife to have that baby.
No, he does say that he believes there should be exceptions for rape, incest, and of course, the life of the mother.
No, he said that after the fact, he first said no. But when people started getting on him, he wanted to vote. He said, "Yeah, okay." So he's a liar. But anyway, here's the other thing. I don't think if the government said, "All right, drugs, we're going to allow drugs here in the United States." And we're going to approve it. It doesn't mean I have to go out there and buy drugs if I don't do drugs. Same thing with abortion. You need to have a relationship with God. And you make your decision about having an abortion, even though it's wrong, through you and God. But I don't need the government to make that decision for me.
So can I just ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Is that all right?
Sure.
Because
sure.
I want you to be able to state your views without me arguing, but just a question, all right? So it's not meant to argue, okay? What about the fact that that's a life in that womb? Does anyone get to make a decision about what happens to the body inside your body?
Right. I don't agree when women say, It's my body. No, it's the baby's body. And I know that someone needs to speak out for those that can't speak for themselves. I understand that. But I don't need the government to make a law to say I have to do X, Y, Z. Instead of something should be dealt with between you and your relationship with God. So I know that Donald Trump is a liar. And I'm not going to say that the other politicians have not lied, but Donald Trump doesn't care that you know that he's a snake. And he was the type of person who said, well, you knew I was a snake before you put me in your pocket. I've been honest with you people. I can walk down the streets of New York and kill somebody. It's not going to happen to me. So when a person tells you who they are, why don't you believe them?
Hey, listen.
I can never vote for Donald Trump.
All clear. Listen.
It has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat, because I don't vote that way. I vote the way that God, you know, once I discuss it with God and he tells me who to vote for. It doesn't matter whether Republican, Democrat, or, you know, independent. It doesn't matter.
Got it. Hey, listen, I wanted to give you an opportunity to express yourself, and you did. So thank you for calling and weighing in. Blessings to you. Appreciate it.
Blessing to you, Dr.
All right. So, again, my purpose was not to argue a point or even give my thoughts. So, and look, character matters. I get it. You're voting for policies, but character does have influence too. The White House, the presidency, is a bully pulpit. And, you know, for example, the very public failings of President Clinton while in office, with one particular act, especially if they're little kids listening, one particular act involved, which was not thought of, well, that's not sex. Actually, surveys have indicated that many younger Americans then embrace that idea. Okay, that's not actually sex. So that doing that thing is not sex, because even though you're not married, look, there are influences for good or for bad. Of course, policy is massive. So it's not just the person's nice or not nice, but character does matter. Integrity does matter. As for politicians lying, did the sun rise today? Yeah. Uh-huh. That being said, I just want to talk about the abortion issue one more moment. We agree, hopefully, every single one listening would agree that if, and I know people that in conscience said, I can't vote for Trump or Harris. And they said, we absolutely do not want Harris in office. Absolutely. But we can't vote for Trump in good conscience. You say, but if you don't vote for him, you're voting for her. They say, hey, I'm sorry. It's before God. I have to give account. And I get that. I get that. And people that I know, some from a distance, some closer, that's between them and God. And whatever we do is between them and God. I'm not your judge in this regard. But let me just say this. Hopefully, every single one of us would agree that there should be a law against killing another human being, right? So we're talking about outside the womb, that murder is illegal. There should be laws against murder. But the mother doesn't really want the baby. Now that the baby was born and the baby cries all the time and she's losing her mind, the mother can't sleep, and the baby fights and kicks and screams and she doesn't want the baby anymore. Well, if you can't handle it, if you're unable to raise it, you're incapable, okay, then you give the baby up to an adoption agency. But we all agree, every one of us would agree wholeheartedly, without hesitation, that she cannot kill the baby because it is a living human being. So that's the whole issue. Once you believe that that is a living human being inside that woman's body, no matter how gut-wrenching the circumstances might be, and I'm a man, what do I know about how gut-wrenching they could be? I can't address it. I'm a male. So I listen to the women who can't address it, and the women who've been raped, and the mothers who've given birth to severely handicapped children. In fact, in my new book, Hearts of Compassion, Backbones of Steel, I tell some agonizing stories to get you in the mind or the heart of a girl who was raped and to her shock finds out she's pregnant, or to a 40-year-old woman, three kids, one severely autistic, and now finds out she's pregnant unexpectedly, and the child is going to be born with horrific birth defects. If it lasts 3 months, it's going to be agony and hell. Why even bring him into the world? To try to say, let's understand before we speak. But once you agree it's a living human being in there, then we would say no one has the right to just say we terminate that life. That's why it's not just a matter of conscience for the mother, but for the society as well.